Well, it is a good morning, isn't it? Yes, we're alive. Thank God for that. This morning, I'm going to talk to you guys, talk to you ladies, about the five needs of men, and also just about some myths of marriage. I'm convinced that people become either good husbands or good wives by what they do when they're single. You can tell if somebody's going to be a good husband or a good wife by how they act when they're single. Now, this teaching, you know, my wife was an intern about 10 years ago. If I would have been giving this teaching to her, she wouldn't have really cared. She would not have really cared because when she was 10, 11 years ago, she wasn't planning on getting married. She wasn't planning on doing that kind of thing. But, of course, now she is married, so it's good. If you guys got your Bibles, let's turn over to Matthew. Turn over to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, starting verse 28. We'll actually start verse 26. We'll read these three verses, 26, 27, 28. It says, "You're not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be come great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And Jesus, we invite you into this room. Lord, we invite you again into our day for everything that we're going to do. Lord, let us walk as you walk. Lord, let us speak as you speak. God, let us be part of the things you're doing here at Teen Mania. And God, when we go out of these gates, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Everybody say 50%. Do you guys ever wonder, why do people still get divorced? Like, why are 50% of people still getting divorced? I married this couple about a month ago, a couple weeks ago, and I asked, "Are you guys planning on getting divorced?" I'm like, "Of course not." Do you guys realize every single couple that gets married think they're going to make it? They think they're going to make it till death do us part. But as some of you ladies know, your parents didn't make it. And so 50% don't make it, and another 50%, they make it, but some make it with lots of joy, some make it with lots of satisfaction, and some are just horrible. They're miserable. And some of you guys might have some parents like that. I mean, I have a friend that he was so glad when his parents got divorced because there was so much pain. There was so much anger. He just could not wait until they got divorced. So the key in marriage, that's what it is right there. It's all about serving. If you ladies want to have a great marriage, you need to learn how to serve. Okay? If you love to serve guys that you don't naturally like to be around, you'll be a good wife. It's easy to serve guys that you're attracted to. It's easy to serve guys that are godly. It's easy to serve guys that are always doing the right thing, but you like to serve guys that you don't like. You like to serve guys that irritate you, that annoy you, that talk too much, because sometimes your husband will act that way. They won't always be the good-looking, godly, nice, kind. Sometimes they'll be that guy that you cannot stand right now as a single woman. Can you ladies all think of that guy right now in the internship you can't stand? That irritates you? That you wish like they'd be transferred to another ministry? That they would leave this place? Okay, if you have that feeling in your heart, you need to repent and you need to figure out ways, "God, I want to be able to serve this man. I want to think the best we have." Because again, for us men, it is easy to serve the women that we think are beautiful, that we're naturally attracted to. And some of you ladies probably notice these guys. They're always very nice around certain girls because it's very easy to be this way. So we're going to talk here about the five needs of men, and we're going to talk about how you guys can start working on this right now as a single woman. These needs come out of lots of surveys. Newest books, newest surveys pretty much have the same thing. Number five, top five need of a man is they want domestic support. They want domestic support from a woman. You guys can go to the next slide. And what does domestic support look like? They would like a woman that knows how to cook. Just like you ladies, like a man that maybe knows how to cook. Right? It'd be cool for a man to cook for you. They'd like a woman to know how to clean. They like a woman that just likes to have a nice house, decorate things. Do you ladies know how to cook? Do you know how to clean? You can tell by your dorm room right now, can't you? You can tell whether you like to clean or not just by looking at your dorm room. Okay? Now, again, most of you ladies, probably when you first get married, you'll work. You may not work. You may decide to work. But when the guy comes home, he'd like to come home to harmony. He'd like to come home to peace. He'd like to come home to rest, to a place where, again, it's like a refuge. That's what his house is like. Now, with the men, I'm going to be speaking to them next week on the five needs of women. So I'll be telling them how they can work on stuff. So when it comes to your dorm room, that should be your lady's mansion. Okay, that should be your mansion. Don't wait until you have a mansion. That is your mansion. Do you make your beds every day? Okay. In the bathroom, is that bathroom like the bathroom you have at your house? Right now it's not, is it? Because there's like 30 different ladies that are using this restroom. But again, domestic support, every man, this is what they want. They want domestic support so their wife is helping them out there. Number four need of a man is they want an attractive spouse. They want an attractive spouse. Now, here's what's great about us humans. What you think is attractive is different from the lady next to you. It's the same thing with us men. What I think is attractive is different than what Randy Olson thinks, than Blaise Frey thinks, than Daniel Bostic thinks. Amen to that? So we're all attracted to different humans here on earth. Smile. Do you smile a lot? Is it natural for you just to smile? Or are you always pondering things? Are you always looking deep thought? But are you just naturally vivacious? Do you just smile a lot? Can you train yourself to be smiley? It's good to actually do. My wife did not usually naturally smile a lot because she was always thinking about things. And she trained herself to smile. Makeup. Is makeup a good thing? Right? Deodorant's good. Right? Deodorant's good. So people do all kinds of different levels of makeup. Again, if you don't like to wear makeup, maybe talk to your friends about some things you could do with your eyes and your blush, stuff like that. But take pride in God's creation. Really taking pride in God's creation. Because a man, he wants to have an attractive spouse for him. Okay, he wants the woman to be attractive to him. Number three, third need of a man is have a recreational companion. If you don't like to go watch intramural sports, if you don't like to, don't get married. Okay, you probably don't want to get married. If you would not want to sit down and watch some games with your husband, don't get married. Okay? Your man, or maybe your man's into opera, music, art, drama. If you don't like that, don't get married. Okay? I married an artist. My wife likes ceramics. She likes sculpture. She likes paintings, drawings. She likes all that. And I had never had any inkling, no desire to ever find out about Monet, find out about Picasso. I never wanted to. But when my wife was into it, so what does Matthew 28 say? Serve. So if she's into it, I'm into it. Whatever your brother core is into, that's what you need to be into. Whatever they want to do, because this is what they want. They want a recreational companion. Another way you guys can practically apply this, what is your dad into? Whatever your dad is into, you become into. Now think about your mom. Is your mom into what your dad's into? Okay, deep inside of a man, he wants his wife to be involved in what he's involved in. If your dad is involved, he loves the business. He loves the stock market. He watches the market. You ladies should learn how to do that. You should want to. Why? Because your dad likes it. And you want your dad to be served in that way. So the guy wants you to go to events. He wants you to go to games. What maybe you like to go to, like dress-up banquets. Maybe he hates going to banquets. He doesn't like that at all. But if you like it, then he should like it. Okay, but he wants a recreational companion. Camping. If you don't like to camp, but he likes to camp, you're going camping. Okay? Because you guys all know inside of us, we have individuality. We want to do what we want to do. And that sets up for failure when it comes to marriage. it's a complete and utter failure if you just want to do what you want to do. It doesn't work. Number two, second need of every man is admiration. He wants to be admired. He wants to be told he's the greatest person, that you are so glad that you're a part of the Sister Corps. You get to do what his dad may have never done. You know one of the main reasons men look at pornography? Is those women they look at validate them as men. Okay? Pornography tells men that I want you. That you're a stud. You're the greatest. That's what pornography does to guys. That's why guys can spend hours looking at it. Because somebody is cheerleading them. Admiring them. You guys, here's what you can do this upcoming week. You can brag on your brother Corsier. Maybe it's Justin Schrock. Maybe it's Seth Young. Whoever it is. You can brag on your brother Cor. Now this will get weird if you just brag on the same guy. Okay? And that's how people start relationships in the Honor Academy. You know, historically, I was telling Mr. Haas this. Dave, right now we have people dating in the Honor Academy. We have people dating in the Honor Academy. Do you know how I know that? It happens every year. And we just had somebody just confess again to it. They told somebody about 3 months ago. They're like, you're right here in the Honor Academy. So right now there's people dating the Honor Academy. Look at your friend, ask them if they're dating. And every time you do this, the person says, no, I'm not. So when it comes to admiration, The guys that you naturally connect with here in the Honor Academy, don't brag on them. Brag on the guys in your brother corps or at your workplace that you don't feel like they're superstars. Tell them how great they are. Just find something specific of what you see them do. Next time you guys call your dad, you talk to your dad, start bragging on him on what he did. Whether he was a hard worker, whether he loved your mom, whether he took you to church each Sunday. Just find ways, specific ways, of how you can brag on your dad. When is Father's Day? It's every day, okay? Father's Day is not once a year. Father's Day is every day. Okay, now don't write a card to your dad once a year. Make it once a month. But Father's Day should be every day. So that's how you guys can find out if you're going to be a good wife. Do you naturally admire guys? Okay? Do you naturally admire guys? Not just the guys you like. But it's just all guys. When it comes to your manager, have you guys admired your manager? If it's a man or a supervisor, have you told them things about them? How you appreciate that they're detail-oriented or they're vision-oriented, whatever it is, but you give them specific ideas. Every man wants to be admired. This will help you guys help your husband one day not to get involved in a midlife crisis. Because here's what happens. Guys, they go to the workplace, and they perform very well. Their performance, they're doing well. People are telling them at the workplace how great they're doing. And then they might come back home. As soon as they walk in the door, their wife might say, hey, could you help me clean up the house? Hey, could you take the kids out? Could you? Instead of just honoring their man. Do you see how that could work? And so what does the guy want to do? Does he want to come home or does he want to go back to work? If he doesn't feel like it's a refuge and being admired, he'll go back to work. And that's where he'll want to spend his time. So you ladies can admire men. Give them compliments. Just don't do it to a few men. Do it to all men. Okay? If you guys got any questions, we'll take them here at the end. Number one need of every man is sexual fulfillment. This is the number one need of every man. Even God's man. Okay, not just men that are teenagers. It's sexual fulfillment. This is always an interesting one. You know, when it comes to, I kind of shared this with the ladies in Shannon Etheridge's class in the fall. But when you think about getting married, and when it comes to your sexual relationship with your husband one day, like how many times per week do you think about having sexual relations with your husband? You know, like how many do you think about having, because guys think about it a lot. You know, the guys here, they think about it a lot. And when I was a single guy, this was something I was scared of. I was scared of that I was going to give like 60 years of my life to a woman and that she might not want to have sexual relations with me very much. It's like a scary thought. And other guys had the same thoughts. Guys that have like kept themselves pure, that are virgins. I was a 25-year-old virgin when I got married. Other guys here on campus that are virgins, or even guys that messed up when they were 16, 17, and now they're going to be pure for 3, 4, 5 years, they're wondering, when I get married, am I going to have a woman that wants to have sex with me, or just wants to talk to me? Does she just want to talk to me, you know, have couch time, or is she actually going to want to have sexual relationships? So, write down the number on your paper. How many times per week do you think you might have sexual relations? You don't need to show it to anybody. Just write that number down. You can make it real small. What do you think that number would be? Just in a given week, that's 7 days. Okay, write that number down. Now, a guy, you guys, like a single 21, 22-year-old guy, he would write down like 7. Okay, he would write down 7. Like once a day. He would like to have sexual relations once a day. Now, some of you might have written 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 24. Who knows what you wrote? But this is very important. So I have a friend that's been married longer than I have. This guy, he's like one of my heroes. He's one of my heroes, but he's one of my best friends. And this guy is so kind. He's a great looking guy. He loves the Lord. He has quiet times. And so I saw him last year. And again, we're best of friends. We were just talking about everything, talking about our kids, my kids. And then he started confiding with me that his wife only likes to have sex once a week. Just one day a week. And I'm like, well, if you talk to her, like, yeah. She just said she's not really, like, her sexual drive is just not really there. But she's wonderful. And we pray together. We go to church. We go out and witness. We minister. She's a great wife, but she's not into that. And this guy, he's married to her for 60 years. He loves her to death, but he wants to express himself to her in a sexual manner. That's how he shows love to her. And how does she show her love to him? It's by talking. She loves to talk to him. She loves to sit on the couch where they can snuggle together. Okay? So this is a huge thing. So how can you guys work on this in your life? You guys need to transform your mind, especially for you ladies that got caught up in sexual things, or if you were abused by men. Because my wife, one reason she didn't want to get married is she thought all guys were perverts. She thought they were all perverted men. But she went to a public school, and guys were always like touching girls, just always doing things to them. So she didn't want to get married to a guy. And so she had even equated sexual things with, ungodliness. People do sexual, that's like not good things. So when it comes to this, what you need to do is talk to older women. Okay, talk to older women. Even talk to your mom about it. Have you ever asked your mom about their sex life? You should. You should ask your mom about their sex life. Okay? Sick. It's not sick. Okay? You guys should ask her about this. But this is a huge thing. My friend now, he loves his wife, but what he's done, he's stopped talking to her about it. He stopped talking to his wife about it. Because it's not going to change. But his wife doesn't know how wounded he is. Like, he takes it as a rejection. Again, ladies, can you imagine your husband only talking to you one day a week? Like, what if he told you, we're only going to talk on Mondays? You know, we'll talk again next Monday. That's how guys can feel. Okay? So this is a huge need in men. And again, God put it in there. All right, let's talk through. So those are the 5 needs. I encourage you to remember these 5. Then you ladies all have 5 needs too. And so me as a, when I was a single man, I tried to work on these 5 needs to get good with the women. And then as I was married, to become even more proficient with my wife. Let's talk through some myths of marriage. Now, you guys know what the word self-fulfilling prophecy means? Self-fulfilling prophecy is if somebody tells you, hey, you don't look very well. Are you sick today? All of a sudden you start feeling sick. Like, as people speak things, you actually might start believing that. Okay? It is the same thing about marriage. If you believe a certain way that it's going to be like, that it's going to happen this way, you'll probably actually live it that way. So here's some myths that I have researched and saw that even married books tell you this is the way it's going to be, and you actually might buy into this. These are 10 myths that I think are myths. They're not truths at all. So let's go through this and discuss these. Number 10. Number 10, marriage is all hard work. Marriage is all hard work. This is a lie. Okay, this is a lie. This is totally untrue. Your guys' parents, the older generation, they can believe this to be true. You don't have to make marriage hard work. Marriage can be very simple. If you got your Bible, turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 16 and 18. Romans 12, 16 through 18. It says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not think you are superior. Verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As long as it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live with peace with everyone. This is a myth. Now think about with your roommates. Do you live in harmony with your roommates? This is a great preparation for you guys to find out what kind of roommate you're going to be with your spouse one day. Okay? When you guys get, it's hard to live in a room with four or five, you know, other ladies. But in that room, is it hard or is it easy? Not easy, is it simple? The difference between being easy and being simple. But marriage, why is marriage hard work? There are certain friends that I have, and I've had friends with certain guys like 7, 8, 10 years. My relationship with them are so simple. It is so easy to be friends with them. Do you guys have friends like that? But then do you have some friends that it's so hard? Or maybe they're acquaintances? Okay? Marriage is not hard work. It's very easy if you're prepared. Okay, if you're ready. It's very easy. Do you guys know how to change the oil in your car? Who does not know how to change the oil in a car? As soon as you learn how to do it, and if you did it like 3, 4, 5 times, it is so simple. But you could go the rest of your life never learning how to change the oil. And that's what he said, if you change the oil in the car hard, you'd be like, oh yeah, it is hard. Because you've actually never done it. You never prepared for it. It's the same thing in marriage. If you guys prepare yourself, you guys know when premarital counseling begins? Today. Premarital counseling begins today. It's not once you get engaged. It's not 2 months before you get married. Premarital counseling begins right now. Okay? It began actually when you guys became a teenager. When you started having hormones go through your body. When you saw your parents, the way they treated one another. When you guys listened to different sermons, different tapes. So marriage is not all hard work. But you'll have lots of people tell you it is. They'll say how hard it is. How you have to work on it every day. Number 9. Here's another myth. You have to tolerate your in-laws. Sometimes people call them outlaws. Now, you guys may have seen the way your parents treat their in-laws. Like, when it comes to your parents' relationship, did your parents love to go visit grandpa and grandma? Did they like to go over to their house? If you guys saw it as a good example, that'll help you out. Because usually your man will probably turn into their old man. So if you don't like your husband's parents, there's a good chance he'll turn into his dad, even if he doesn't want to. Now, again, he can change if he's actually been born again, if his dad's, you know, a heathen, doesn't know God at all. But you don't have to tolerate your in-laws. You actually love your in-laws. Okay, you can help them love you back. But this is one that's talked about a lot. There's all kinds of teachings on it. Number 8. Here's another myth. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. This is untrue. Men are from Earth and women are from Earth. Okay, that's where they're from. They're not from these different planets. First Peter chapter 3:1-7. First Peter 3:1-7, it says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Rather, it should come from that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past used to put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted like themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and you do not give way to fear. Husband, the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as a worker, as a weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. What's it, number five need of a man? What's number five? Next, four? Track your spouse, three? Pain, two? One? See? You can understand men. You can understand men. Us men, we can understand you. Okay, people actually say you never can understand women. That's a lie. Okay, that's a lie. Us men, we can understand women. You know we can understand you? Is by reading lots of books. Reading lots of books about you, and then being around you, asking you questions. You ladies can all understand men. Okay? Now, again, some people say you can't. It's the same people that say you cannot understand how to build a building. I don't understand what Robert Gunter does on campus. Okay, Robert Gunter, he knows how to run the septic tank, the sewer system. He knows how to do stuff in the building. The reason he knows how to do it is he's actually studied it. He put all this time into doing this. You ladies can understand men. Okay, don't ever think you cannot. We are not from different planets, okay? We're from Earth. So are you ladies reading your books right now on understanding men? Which books are you reading on how to understand men? Wild at Heart. Right? That's a good one, right? If you read that kind of book. You can just read a few pages. Read a few chapters of things. Men want to be understood. Do you ladies want to be understood? Do you want men to try to figure out how to understand you? Yes, it shows that he cares about you. He's trying to understand what you like. Number seven myth is you will have to work and put your kids in daycare to make ends meet. You'll have to work and put your kids in daycare to make ends meet. A couple of scriptures here in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, verse 22. It says, good people leave an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Ladies, if you marry the wrong man, you'll have to do that. If you marry the wrong man, you'll have to put your kids in daycare one day. Do you realize once you get married, as soon as you get married, you're saying, I'm ready to have a child? Because I'll probably get pregnant on my honeymoon. How many of you guys know people that got pregnant on their honeymoon? I do. My wife's sister, they had a plan. They got married when they were in college, and they had a plan. We're going to get married, and then the wife will go to college while the guy works. When she graduates, the guy will go to college, and the woman will work. Well, they got pregnant on their honeymoon. So all their dreams of what they were going to do, it stopped. Okay, they stopped. So their dreams are all into their children, and then they're going to do their dreams when their kids get out of college or get out of high school. That's when they're going to go back to it. But if you marry the right guy, you actually can do your dreams and take care of your children. But if you marry the wrong guy, you have to put your kids in daycare. You know one of the reasons why kids are so messed up today? It's like daycare. Both parents are working. Before, like the late 1960s, did moms stay at home? They did. Every scientific study, when it comes to kids, say kids do better if the mom stays at home for the first 6 years when they're alive. It's like the first 6 years. Okay? After the first 6 years, what happens? The kid kind of goes into school. But the first 6 years are critical for the development of the child. That's where the first 6 years, where kids get their morals, they get their ethics, they get their behavioral patterns, is during those 6 years. So it's a big deal. That is a myth, but it's a truth if you marry the wrong guy. Okay? And all of you ladies can decide whether you're going to work or stay at home, but it is a big deal. If you read Deuteronomy 6 through 9, let's just turn over that. You guys want to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 through 9. Famous Hebrew point here. Hebrews 6, 6 through 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. How can you teach your children all the time when you're working? How can you do this? Again, I work. I get home about 5:30 each day, and then my three children go to bed at 7:30. Like, I only have like 2 hours each night to be with my children. What if my wife, Elisa, worked too? Who would be teaching them what to put on their hearts? Daycare would. That's who would be telling them what to focus on. That's who would be telling them how to respond to authority. This would be. Do you guys understand this? So this is a myth if you marry the wrong guy. Don't marry the wrong guy. Or marry the wrong season of your life. Number six myth. You will argue about many things. It's natural to argue. You will argue about many things. It is natural. Is it natural to steal? Is it natural to hit people? Why is it natural to argue? Turn over to James 3:17. James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Think about the last time you got an argument in the last week. Think about your head. When last week? When did I get an argument? Now, why did you get an argument? Why do people get in arguments? Pride and selfishness. People usually get in arguments because they're selfish. They want it done a certain way. Or they disagree and they're going to let you know about it. I decided when I was single, I didn't want any arguments. I did not want this in my marriage. All marriage books talk about how do you fight fair. How do you deal with stuff. I decided I did not want to have it. Do you guys want to have arguments in your marriage? You get to decide. Okay, you get to decide whether or not you want to have it or not. And if you have it, you'll teach lots of other people how to have them. Because the way that you live your life, you'll produce that to your children. You'll disciple them on how to do it. The next time you want to get in an argument with your roommates, can you stop yourself? How do you stop yourself from having an argument? Here's how I stopped it last night. Last night, my daughter Sierra, about 12:30, just started screaming. And I don't wake up. I sleep through thunder. I don't wake up to anything except an alarm. And so she was screaming. Elisa got out of the bed, and then I heard some stuff downstairs. Elisa put her back to bed. My wife came back up in bed, and all of a sudden my daughter Savannah starts yelling. And so